wash my hands in the cool, clear water. Midtown over the street. Wash my hands in the cool, clear water. Midtown over the street. Tall grass grows in the high green meadow. Midtown over the street. Oh, it's just fine. Watching the passage of time. We ain't got long to live, so we ain't got long to love. Myself on the edge of a mountain, swept up into a cloud. Found myself on the edge of a mountain, swept up into a cloud. Moss grows slow and soft in the forest, swept up into a cloud. Oh, we're just fine, watching the passage of time. Ain't got long to live, so we ain't got long to love. Live our lives in circles, running round where we've been. And I love you more each moment, every moment that I'm given. Days fly by like fire in the valley, burning everything that we know. Days fly by like fire in the valley, burning everything that we know. Wind and smoke blow ashes on the water. Bent down over the stream. Oh, we're just fine, watching the passage of time. We ain't got long to live, so we ain't got long to love.
It is time for Talkin' Music on your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am Taya J, joined today live in the studio by Joyce Moore and Dan Rubinoff of Ruby Joyful, celebrating the release of their debut album, The Pie Chart of Love. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us, Taya.
Such a pleasure to have you. You recorded your debut album, The Pie Chart of Love, with a whole host of talented musicians. You've got Drew and Eli Emmett. You've got Andy Thorne of Leftover Salmon. Today in the studio, we have just the two of you playing for us. And, you know, I think the ethos of so much of the creative work that you do is about your partnership and about the love that the two of you share. And so it's interesting to just have it kind of strip it down almost and have it just be the two of you.
It's definitely how it started.
Yeah. And hopefully how it ends.
Right. Sitting around in the van writing songs or up on Kebler Pass or something like that. That's how it started.
Do you both write songs?
I would love to say that that is the case. And I would love to be able to write songs. We've written, I'd say, a couple verses together, Long to Love. But all the songwriting credit definitely goes to Dan.
Joyce, what do you feel like you bring to this dynamic?
God, that's a great question. What do I bring to it?
There's something about the bass, right? There's something about that, like, rhythm gives it, it almost grounds it in a way, I feel like. I feel like you're the if from an outsider's perspective, I feel like you're kind of like the grounding that happens.
Right, I've heard that. I've heard, yeah, that I hold down the bass line.
Mm-hmm. Quite literally, but also maybe metaphorically.
Right. Oh, and I also bring feminine energy to what is often a lot of male energy.
Yeah, it's like a boys club. This whole album, incredibly talented male musicians. You are that feminine representation.
Right.
She is my muse. So it's where the songs come from. It's where the inspiration came from. It's where all of this was generated. Mm. So without her and without us together, there's none of it.
So I talked to you two almost a year ago now, and you had not yet released an album. You were playing together. You were playing some shows. And then tomorrow, Friday the 10th, you will release your debut album, The Pie Chart of Love, 12 original tunes. Dan, you're wearing a really fabulous shirt with the album cover on it. The Pie Chart of Love. I really love this. It's a pie chart, and the majority of the chart is designated as, quote, my love for you. And then there's this slim little sliver that's labeled everything else. Can we talk about the everything else for a second?
Yeah, it's an iconic symbol, but it came out from a large canvas that I painted for her. And I'm not an experienced artist in that respect, but I made this really cool large canvas, which combined my love for her and seventh grade math. I have a lot of other people that I do love in my life, including my children, very much.
They fit in the sliver? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, they saw it, and they were a little aghast at part of that. I said, don't take it personally. It was just an artist's idea, that's all. But they could easily fit in the other big part, too.
As you astutely say, the album is grounded in the universal idea of love, but it is specific to the unique love that the two of you share as a partnership. Do you ever feel vulnerable putting that sort of intimate bond on stage, putting that intimate bond into your songs or onto an album? Does it feel like an act of vulnerability to share your love in such a genuine way?
Not at all. It's who we are. It's we operate out of a place of love, always. And I like to think that we're like that in all of our relationships and just in life. And our love for each other and the passion that we have, this beautiful love story, it's just who we are.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I'd like to say, you know, maybe it could be a little embarrassing or something like that, but not at all. It's Joyce and I pretty much spend all our time together. We work together. We're rarely apart. To be on stage and singing the songs that we sing every day at home and that we, created together, it's pretty natural. So I think it moves beyond the corny and embarrassing level. It's pretty easy. And it's really what it's about. I mean, at this point in life, I think a lot of people would think, oh, yeah, we fell in love 6 months ago and we're doing this little honeymoon thing. But actually, it's been 7 years now, and we're still kicking butt, if I'm allowed to say that.
Do you think, coming back to this idea of universal love, do you think the album has the chance to touch on all kinds of love? As you say, there's lots of other things that fit in that little sliver of everything else. Do you think that it has the capacity to invoke just how broad love can be, that we can have love for so many things?
I think the key to songwriting, as I discovered after I turned 50 years old, is to not make things too obvious or too specific. And so there's really nothing in there that's very specific to Joyce and I, although there are references. It's broad, and it's made for the listener to create their own images and their own ideas about it. And I think that's where good songwriting comes in, is you let the listener create that for themselves. So I think I was able to write it in such a way where it wasn't specific corny to our corny little love fest. And, let the listeners put themselves into those songs. And they do have to be universal in that respect.
Mm-hmm. The other piece of love can be heartache. Do you think there are elements of heartache on this album?
Nope. No, I no, it's not really there. I think, hopefully that's not the next album, for God's sakes.
Maybe there's enough heartache in the world that this is like the antidote to the heartache that we all feel on a regular basis.
You know, the truth is, I've written some songs about heartache and they all stink. So they were corny. They were lousy. They weren't worth anything. So I got rid of that. People can write good songs about heartache. They do it every day and it's all over the radio. But we didn't do it on this album. We really didn't. This is definitely about the positive.
I met her outside of old Avery Hall. She was tired and drunk, and that was not all. The music was loud and the kids, they were young. After all these long years, wasn't having no fun. Well, her hair it was blue and her tongue it was pierced. Her soul was so gentle, but her look was so fierce. She fell in my arms and I sang her some lines. How my little punk girl fell in love with John Prine. John Prine, John Prine, well, do you know his name? Can you whistle a tune about heartache and trains? About Elvis and kitchens, I sang her those lines. That's how my little punk girl fell in love with John Prine. She partied her way through many long years. Sid Vicious had left her with two bloody ears. Told her I loved her and she walked away. Out she can't hear a damn thing I say. John Prine, John Prine, well, do you know his name? Can you whistle a tune about heartache and trains? About Elvis and kitchens, I sang her those lines. That's how my little punk girl fell in love. John Prine. Now we both stand outside Avery Hall. Been dancing all night at the Red Lady Bar. Fiddle away through my little girl's heart. Pick up my old Martin guitar. about Abby and angels and stars. She looks at me deep with those glitter-rimmed eyes. Makes love to her singer, just a regular guy. John Prine, John Prine, where do you know his name? Can you whistle a tune about heartache and trains? About Elvis and Kitchens, I sang her those lines. That's how my little punk girl fell in love with John Prine. That's how my little punk girl fell in love with John Prine. John Prine, John Prine, John Prine all the time. All she ever wants to listen to is that goddamn John Prine.
And the song with the longest title, How My Lil' Punk Girl Fell in Love with John Prine, from Ruby Joyful, joining us live today from the KVNF studio, right here on your Mountain Grown Community Radio. It seems like there's a good sense of humor that you share in your songwriting. I feel like How My Little Punk Girl Fell in Love with John Prine is a great example. I mean, the song title alone holds a lot of humor and a lot of heartfeltness to it. Would you say that humor is important?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll take the love seriously for sure. But in terms of songwriting, you know, my idols are definitely rooted in guys like Todd Snyder that can jest as he plays and creates. And if you listen to John Prine himself, there's some very subtle humor that goes on in there. I just live off that stuff. So I'm glad I was able to put some of it in the songwriting. I'd like to be able to do more in that respect. So if it can keep me from getting too serious or too corny, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. In the interest of not being too serious, what's your hope with this album? I mean, I know you put it out because it felt really natural and it came together and there was this beautiful sort of collaborative element between some really top-notch musicians and yourselves. What do you hope? Do you feel like this is the beginning of many more albums, or are you really just trying to stay focused in the present moment? What's your hope for it?
Oh, I think for us that we're totally in the moment. We had a unique period of life where we were able to get the time to do this and to create this. Kind of comes from the Joni Mitchell idea of somebody said to her, play that song again. And she said, well, nobody ever said to Van Gogh, paint a starry night again. You know, so it's our piece of art and we always wanted to do it. We love to do that. And as a musician, I always wanted that piece of art, not as a career, but to finally do an album and not just any old album, but get the best musicians I could finally with some good songs that were written and do it as well as we can. And so what Joyce and I get from that is to simply be able to play from here on out. Doesn't have to be to thousands of people, just to be able to play our songs that we love so much. And we do that all over, playing a lot of stuff for political events, you know, for the Democrats, helping them out in this election, which we feel very strongly about. And we play a lot of stuff at children's hospitals, which is pretty much our favorite thing in the world to do. And so just the boost to play music for the rest of our lives, really, as we grow old together.
It reminds me of really the healing power of music. And I'm wondering, Joyce, if you'll speak to that a little bit, particularly in regards to the work that you do playing at children's hospitals and sort of where that stems from. And why that feels important right now.
I think it started when we took our daughters to Greece a few years ago, and we worked in a refugee center. And there was a guitar sitting in the corner, and Dan picked it up, and we started playing music to the families that would come in. It was this beautiful center that was set up for people just to have a little break from the refugee camp that they were in. And that became really special to us. And I think when we came home, we talked about how we could broaden that. And children's hospitals came into play. And we started, I think before COVID, playing in Denver at Children's Hospital. And we just absolutely love it. it's just, it's near and dear to our hearts to play to staff, the nurses, the doctors, and parents, and the kids. It's just the sweetest thing in the world to us.
Do you have a recent experience of that where you felt like, where you felt that was kind of confirmed for you, where you looked into the audience or you saw someone respond or react in a way that said, oh yeah, this is why we're doing this. This is why this is important and this is why this matters right now.
Yeah, recently we played in Denver and then we went to Colorado Springs, traveled down to New Mexico, played in Albuquerque. And each one of those just has special moments where, you know, it's a baby sitting in his or her mom's lap and they're wiggling their feet around or clapping to the music and smiling, and it just, it brings so much joy to them and in turn obviously to us, but we feel like we're there for them, to support them and their families.
And children are so unique because they have that sense of rhythm without even being conscious of that, that that's what that is. You know, they're able to just sort of like, they're so in their bodies that they're able to just in an unadulterated way, just like pick up on the tone and the rhythm and the sense of music in a really magical way that I think adults kind of over time, we lose that ability to just really maybe lean into or feel into music in that really genuine way.
Right. And they're also very honest. So we've had parents bring their kids to listen and the kids, you know, give us this total cynical eye, like, who are you? You know, and they're not going to have anything to do with it until we start playing and they figure out if they like it or not. So they've no problem telling you if they like it or not.
And then when they do like it, it's that much more of a genuine interaction, I feel like, than someone exactly. Who politely says at the end of the show, great show.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually... I mean, that's what we want to do. We just want to travel around, play in children's hospitals. The album and all this other stuff aside, I wouldn't trade it at all for what we do with these kids, honestly.
Mm-hmm. When you first moved here, I feel like you were doing a lot of front porch jam sessions. Like there was this sort of open invitation to the musicians in the community to come on by and play some music. And I feel like you can hear that element on the album. You can hear that kind of, you know, front porch jam. And I'm wondering if that was an intentional choice or if that is just truly how you guys play.
It has always been how we played and how I've played over the years. I don't really know anything different. And so the songs are written in that vein and the musicians are asked to play in that vein. And basically the songs are four chords and the truth, as they say. And anybody can play along with them. When we play with these guys that we're going to tour with next week, it takes like 10 minutes for them to learn all the songs. And they've got it. And rehearsal's not very long. It's front porch music for sure. And I think it'll always be that way. And by the way, the front porch is going to be open again this summer. Any musicians who want to stop by and play some music with us on Grand Avenue, we're always there.
Love that. Reminder for our listeners, Ruby Joyful will be performing all around the Western Slope coming up starting tomorrow, May 10th, Friday, May 10th at Steve's Guitars in Carbondale, May 11th at the Alibi in Telluride, May 14th at the Paradise Theater in Paonia, May 15th at E-Town Hall in Boulder, Yoo-hoo. Snaps for that, and May 16th at Swallow Hill Music in Denver. What are you folks looking forward to as you bring these songs to all of these various communities across the state of Colorado?
I think for us, maybe it's, you know, once in a lifetime chance to play with these guys, and we're gonna soak in every moment of it for sure. We chose venues that we thought would be intimate and fun for us. For you leftover salmon freaks, it's not really a boogie fest, right?
Good to clarify.
It's more of a listening audience. We chose intimate settings where the musicians really get to hone their craft individually, not big jam band stuff. And we're really looking forward to playing with such high level of musicianship.
The Pie Chart of Love is out Friday, May 10th. Congratulations on your debut album, you two. And thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having us, Taya.
Thanks, Taya. We love being here. And we love KVNF. We really do. Some people like touch, some people like words, some people play the ponies, some are watching all the birds, some people like tamales, some is too much salt, some folks are overconfident, others think it's all their fault, and I love you, baby.
That was an interview with Joyce Moore and Dan Rubinoff of Ruby Joyful. Ruby Joyful will be celebrating the release of their debut album, The Pie Chart of Love, with several shows across the Western Slope in the coming weeks. To find out more about where they will be, you can visit rubyjoyfulband.com. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Summer drinking lots of bourbon. Others love that gin. Some will party till the sunrise. I'm a bit by 10. Some people keep their hair short. Others love it long. Some write the famous novel. I just write a simple song. And I love you, baby. For whoever you are, if we're living in our castle or we're living in our car, no, we'll always be together. Ooh, you're my best friend. You're the one I always wanted. Stick with me till the end. Together. Ooh, you're my best friend.